pray and never begin that close your eyes and bow your heads.
Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for a new day, for life and health and strength. Thank you, Lord, for each of the heads that's bowed in your presence. And I pray a blessing upon each one of us here, and our brothers and sisters across the land and the world that are preparing just to gather together and to meet with you and to praise you and to thank you. And I pray, you, Father, please, that you would just be at the helm of the service and lead us and guide us. That you would find our prayers and our praises and the preaching and teaching of your word and the tithes and the offerings and the fellowship, Lord, everything that would be done decently in hand, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. I pray very specially at this time for lost souls out in the world that's maybe looking at a 2023 that's going to be tight, Lord. And I pray, Father, please, that many souls would have come to the end of themselves and would try now looking beyond and looking at you. Please save souls. Help us, Lord, always to be a help and pointing people to the foot of the cross. And Lord, for our private prayer requests and petitions, I pray that you grant these according to your will. I pray especially for Steve at this time, for Norman, for myself, for Monica's mom, for all those that are maybe sick and cast out, and we're not forgetting Frank too, as he prepares to get surgery. Lord, a whole bunch of stuff, we leave it at your feet, Father. I pray that you would grant it according to your will. Just pray that most important, that your will would be done. We love you and thank you. I want to turn to the big hymn books this morning. We'll go to 356 and we'll begin with that. 356, I must tell Jesus.
I cannot bear my burdens alone.
blackbooks. And if you're able, we'll stand as we do this blessed old book, number 2, whenever you're ready.
Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, will the earth be removed, and will the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea? Will the waters thereof roar and be troubled? Will the mountains shake in the swelling there of Sheila? There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles, the Most High. God's in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her on that right errand. The heathen raged, the kingdoms removed. The earth his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot and the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted amongst the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah.
Very last verse is, goes along with the model prayer where it says, "Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." That's a promise that God is going to come back to this world, and all the lost folks are going to have to admit that He's God. Amen. Good verses. I think everybody knows those first two verses. Thank you for that. I just want to take a moment or two and remind you that the new prayer lists are out. They're in white. Hope that's not in honour of any snow that we might be getting. I think I've had enough of that of ice and snow for a day or two, but you may have noticed there's been a slight rejigging of the prayer list. Anything that has anything to do with you is under your name. That way we can keep a track of who has asked for prayer for what. So as you look at those, if you see there are names that are things that are not under your name that should be, let us know. And if there's anything that is listed under your name that shouldn't be, let us know as well, and we will get it sorted out for you. I know we have separate things there for folks for salvation. Please do pray for that. Most importantly, we have our hospital prayers, if that's the right, or sick prayers, especially, most importantly, for Steve right now. I was talking to him yesterday on the phone. I think if you were too. He was saying he is on a sugar-free diet. He's on a restricted liquid intake, and he is still on high doses of fluid tablets or fluid medicine. So he still obviously has a lot of fluid in his body that shouldn't be there. And he's had at least 10 litres of fluid removed from his body through this, and I'm sure that news is nearly a week old, so there's been more. Please do continue to pray for him. They have him stabilised. You have him getting out of his bed and walking. So please do pray for him. Pat, of course, as well, is she is able to get a little bit of rest at home now that she is not looking after Steve 24/7. So please do pray for Pat. Pray for Norman too. He has something going on his ankle. I think it's a bit of cellulitis or something. And I think he's for going back to hospital possibly this coming week to get a second set of antibiotics for him. So please do pray for that. We'd appreciate your prayers for Frank. He's coming back home to get soon. Is it this week or a couple of weeks?
Next Friday.
So he'll be back. Is that like nearly 2 weeks away?
Yeah.
For some surgery. So please. For the Chinese New Year first. So please do pray for Frank. Do continue to pray for Monica's mother as well. And she's just not 100% right now and needs a lot of help at home. So for her mom and dad, I'd appreciate your prayers. I know I stood up here about a week ago and said, I'd really appreciate your prayers for my whatever's going on. So what was ever going on, that cleared up. But it's moved from that side over to that side. So my sinuses and this side of my face are stuffed up with whatever. It's not going to be for a bit of a loop. But I appreciate your prayers for that as well. Other than that, do pray for the people in this country that don't know Christ as their Saviour and have no idea what's going on, because they are setting out into the dark, into a world that has been biblically prophesied that is not going well for anybody in it. It means the Lord also is coming back. It's almost like the starter pistol and all the things that many of the prophecies that mentioned in the Bible about the rapture and the Lord coming back, so please do pray about those things. Two other people that are on my mind. One would be that Teacher Enoch
Enoch Burke that was arrested for an contempt of court for refusing to memorize the pronouns of somebody that was identifying as transgender. He's still in jail as far as I know, so please do pray for him. And please do pray for the wee woman that was arrested because she was praying quietly into herself outside an abortion clinic. Please do pray about that. Those things are creeping over here as well. It's going crazy. We're commanded to pray for our leaders, so please do pray for them. The Lord knows what they all need. They need to be saved, but I do believe we're living in the days of the Ten Kings, or the formation of the Ten Kings, mentioned in Revelation. And make sure you keep your eyes on the Lord, and keep a good relationship with Him. I can't think of anything else. Is there anything we would need to be adding to that? Anybody got any thanks?
Work.
Work moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
Glad to be here for another day, even though I am feeling quite poorly and still able to do a few things, and I appreciate being able to do that. It's all up in my head. Thankfully, it's not in the rest of my body. And I'm glad of that too. Don't forget to pray for Winston and Nicolette. And I have a little bit of work that needs to be done up in the house before we can see about getting a notice up on the main road advertising the church. So I'd appreciate it. I have the trailer, and it's covered in 6 sheets of plasterboard. And I need the plasterboard on the walls before I can get the trailer. The trailer is like my big workbench. With everything that went on, my schedule is running about 2 weeks behind, so I'd appreciate your prayers for that. For work, for safety whilst we travel, and for the weather, and for all that's going on, just need lots of prayer. We might not be able to affect much change in the world, but we can affect amazing change in our own lives. Just keep your eyes on the Lord. I think that's about that. Well, would you lead us in a wee word of prayer there, Will? Thank you.
Thank you for saving us, Lord. Thank you for your love, Lord. And thank you for filling this world, Lord. For bringing a beautiful world and for control it to our needs, Lord. For every good thing you've given us, Lord, especially salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son, Lord. And see souls saved this day, Lord, and see thy glory. We pray for the earth that people may know thee and know that our good Lord, and we worship and glorify thy great and holy name. Lord, may we be conduits of that also, Lord, and agents of that as well, Lord. And be with us as we go through this Sunday, Lord, and we start a new week, Lord. Be at the forefront of our thought and our mind and our path, Lord. Be with us and help us, Lord, to talk to those that are lost, and to guide them to thy Son for salvation and repentance unto eternal life, Lord. With all the people absent God, Lord, with Frank, with him, keep him on his work, Lord, not for any trouble, Lord. Help him with dental surgery, Lord, to any pain or any suffering, Lord. Keep him safe and give him joy and mercy, and bring him back to Lord Ireland, probably his family, Lord. With his good, with him, and Dr. Sharon, with him, bless him as well, Lord. Also with Nicky, Winston, and Scott, Lord. Kelly, Lord, with him also, Lord. Help him find the church, Lord, and Lord. With him and guide him up to that path, Lord, and direct their ways, Lord, up to thee as well, Lord. Save Stephen, Colin, and John, Lord. Save the souls, Whitney, Parthy, Lord. Ruth also Stephen Path, Lord. And, help Steve Michael and Parthy, Lord. And we heal his body, Lord. Take away pain and suffering or discomfort, Lord. And give him strength, Lord. Heal him and bring him back to church, Lord. And Lord, Whitney and Parthy, strengthen and Parthy as well, Lord. And save his brother and all save his family as well, Lord. We also Pat, give her some rest, my blood, from any trouble, Lord. Take away any doubts or any problems with her health, Lord. Help her, mind, guide her, give her strength, Lord, and shore her up as well, Lord. With love as well, with my sickness, Lord, heal mightily and powerful, Lord, and give her strength, Lord, to carry on, Lord, and guide her through his daily life, Lord, as well. With Mark and Maud, guide him as well, Lord. Help Mark in his work, Lord, and give him a touch of the Spirit, Lord, and Lord, help him to proclaim the gospel today, Lord, and give us a blessing, Lord, and show us any ears that are like our not in line with thee, Lord, and bring us closer walk with thee, Lord. And bless our service, all of our service, Lord. And bless our songs, Lord, and our devotion to thee, Lord, and strengthen us and keep us, Lord. And also give us the hearers also of this gospel ministry today, Lord. Bless them well as well, Lord, and strengthen them. And save me from those that are lost, Lord, and restore the back to them as well, Lord. Bless this day, Lord, may we do it. And I bid you to fly on us, Lord, for Jesus Christ again.
Amen. Thank you, Will. If you'd like to take your big hymn books this morning, and turn to 357. 357, as in the Magnum. I don't mean the ice lolly. 357 is ask and seek and knock. Down and open our Bibles. My burdens rolled away. 219. That all stands.
Thank you.
Verses. I want to spend a little bit of time this morning just thinking about the subject of never thrown away. Never thrown away. John chapter 6, beginning at verse number 28. And we're reading through until verse 4. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. This is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Amen. If you haven't guessed, verse number 37 is, excuse me, our particular text this morning. Especially whenever the Lord says, "And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." My apologies, I don't know why I'm yawning this morning. I got a good night's sleep and I got
and I was up bright and early and I had a good breakfast. Goodness gracious me. My apologies. Let's have a quick prayer and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, again. Thank you for your great promises. And we're holding the one this morning that you'd be one of our number. Just a home in heaven. Big brother of a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and a father in heaven that would come to at any time. I pray that you would bless this time in your presence, Father. Just love you and thank you. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, according to your will. Amen.
Amen.
Excuse me. There I go again. I don't know what's going on. Amen. Never Thrown Away is our title for the message. Verse number 36, where the Lord said, Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And as we read this little bit of God's word, there's quite a few things. People are scrambling to try and get a hold of God, to see and to understand and to believe on Him. Let's be honest, we all want something more than just what we're looking. We need something more than just what the world can give us. And what the Lord, the point that He was trying to make here in John 6, that He explained so very clearly in John chapter 10, is that you come to me, Jesus said, I'll never throw you away. I'll never be done with you. You might have to come in for an early bath, as a fellow says, but you're not going to go to hell anymore. And in John chapter 10, and verse number 27 through 31, that's where Jesus said to the people, He says, I have you in the palm of my hand, and no man can pluck you out. He said, My Father, which gave you me, He has you in the palm of His hand, and no man can pluck you out. And then further on in the New Testament, it says that the Holy Spirit seals us until the day of redemption. Just like Noah's Ark, protected on the outside, protected on the inside. And whenever I realized that, that freed me from having to do the best that I could do to doing what I could do because I love Jesus. And it solves a multitude of problems and takes a great deal of stress out of life. A great deal of fear. And Jesus, this is one of the things, one of the great differences between Bible-believing Christianity and every other religion on the face of this world. Every other religion, and I mean every other religion, Protestantism, Catholicism, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, even witch doctrine and paganism, every single one of them says to the person that's involved in it, do the best that you can do. Every single one of them. And upon what you do hinges your eternity. Jesus said, you trust in the best that I did already, me, an immortal, infinite, all-powerful God, and I'll take you to heaven. And then anything else you do because you love me. You do because you realize, my goodness, look at the difference being saved makes, and having somebody else saved doesn't diminish it at all. In fact, it increases it. Why wouldn't I go out and tell other people? It makes a difference to know that you're going to heaven. To know that, oh, if you had a slip and a bad word crept out, or you give someone a thump that really needed it but you shouldn't have done it, that does not jeopardize your eternity. The only thing that would jeopardize your eternity is not getting saved. Your salvation is the meat, it is the potatoes, it is the vegetables. What you do is the gravy. It doesn't affect the meat and the potatoes and the vegetables. It might make it. I was going to say it might make it. Does anybody here like gravy on their meat and potatoes? I like it. It must be something to do with that stock and that extra wee bit of salt. It just makes everything taste better. And that's what you doing something with your Christian life does. It makes your salvation, your saved life better. And Jesus went to great lengths. He gave us life to prove this. And a lot of people get bent out of shape about, we've got bread. Moses fed us from heaven. And Jesus said, it wasn't Moses, it was God that fed you. And you see, that bread, that was an example. That bread sustained the people of Israel through the wilderness. But I'm the bread of life. I will sustain you through the endless ages of eternity. He goes on and he mentions that once you get saved, you're saved. You can sit and you can do nothing with your eternal life. The only person you'll be hurting is you. You can go against God once you're saved. And again, the only person you'll be hurting is you and the people around you. But if you walk with God, there are so many promises, so many blessings, which we covered a week or two back. And at that, we only covered a few of them. There are so many of these things that God will give to you. Wisdom, peace of mind, comfort, strength, integrity. The very words to say in the ministrations of angels. Peace that the world can't give. And all of these things the world would poo-poo them because they can't put them in their back pocket or lodge it in the bank. But really, all of these things are what people need. Anyway, one of the reasons, in fact, the main reason for the service, for the message in the service, I was walking down the road the other day, all wrapped up like a mummy in my high-vis heavily padded jacket and high-vis windproof, weatherproof trousers, and about the only thing that you could see was my eyes and my nose. And I was just thinking, Lord, thank you for all the times that I have walked up and down this road and for the messages that you've given me. And I was just looking around and I saw things walking up and down the road. It's really a disgrace. And I must actually go out with a pair of handy hands and a bin bag. I saw plastic bottles. You always see the plastic bottles. You know, the Coke bottle, the Fanta bottle, or the energy bottle. You know, the ones that they take to boost them up. Things that decent food and a good night's sleep would do for you for free. I even saw vodka bottles in a new twist. Two or three of the little vodka bottles. Plenty of beer bottles, some of which were broken. I saw takeaway boxes. I think there's even a piece of laminated chipboard sitting by one of the telegraph poles. If you keep your eyes peeled, you might actually see a silver stereo sitting under a tree out there. Not that very long ago, there were a set of Christmas lights sitting in the puddle. I've seen children's toys, you know, the garden toys, that the weather or bigger kids have gotten the better of, and people have just come along and turfed them out and over the mark. And if you've ever cleaned in the church, you might notice one of our hoovers has a bright green piece in the handle. Well, I actually came across down in the dump one day a piece of, what are they? What do you call our hoovers? What's the brand?
Dyson.
One of our handles in the Dyson hoover broke, and I was in the dump and I saw the handle of a Dyson hoover, and I thought, clickety click, that'll do for me, and our hoover's working again. And I thought that was really cool. During COVID, we had plenty of masks and some rubber gloves, plastic bags. You get the odd inhaler or vapor doodad thingy, you see that floating about. Someone just chucks it out of their window and you get something that looks like a shotgun shell with a little blue light on the end of it. What? You get everything. But one thing they all have in common is they all meant something to somebody once. They served a purpose, or they were used up or broken, and they were thrown away. Now, you know from the example that next time you want to do some hoovering just to prove me right, the things I say is right, The grey Dyson Hoover has a different coloured part in its handle. I'm going to give you another example. I was helping somebody out one day, and I was pulling into a drive down, helping Billy. Pulled into the drive, and his neighbour had thrown out an old LCD TV, about that size, and maybe a 24, 26 inch TV. And it sat there for a while, and it rained on it, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to take that home, and I'm going to see if it works. So I took it home, put it in the heat, dried it out, switched it on, taking my life in my hands, and the thing worked. And that one TV helped a young man throughout his first couple of years at university, along with another monitor that I had. Sometimes things are salvageable. But as I was walking down there, I'm sure you know where I'm going, the similarities with this world and what the way it treats people or what it does to people, it staggered me for a moment. I actually stopped walking and I thought, you know what, that is absolutely crazy. Again, bringing a truth to Romans chapter 1, where it says the invisible things of him are clearly seen through the creation of the world. You can look out in the world and you can get a gospel message. If you think about walking down the road of life, your own life, and you get to witness many of the souls who have ruined themselves believing the propaganda that the world, the flesh, and the devil has broadcast. They've used themselves up, or the world has just taken and chewed all the flavour out of them and chucked them out of the window. And they're left by the side of the road, mostly out of sight. Useless. Nobody wants to be seeing them. In fact, I never noticed most of this stuff until the bad weather took the leaves off the trees. And most times, people don't want to be reminded that the way they're living is going to result in, well, a massive failure. They're going to get to the end of their lives, living the life that they've led, and it's going to result in unhappiness. It's going to result in emptiness. It's going to result in, well, basically a failure. Well, according to the standards of the world, I want you to remember something in Romans 8:28. God doesn't call us to be rich. He just calls us to be saved and faithful. He says, you know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them that are called according to his purpose. Maybe what the world, the flesh, and the devil will do is use anybody and anything up until there's nothing left, cast it to one side, and go on to the next one. It will take a person's youth and any years after that if they give them. They'll steal their future, their family and their friends, and even their finances. Will steal their health and their mind, their strength and their vitality. And when there's nothing left, many times, like the children of Israel in the Old Testament, when was it they called upon God? When they were being beaten about the head from every single direction, they were going like, God, what's the form here? Lord, please save us. Remember King Jehoshaphat, who went to war with Ahab against another king? Completely surrounded and cried out to God, God help me. And they realized, hey, there's no way Ahab's going to call upon God. And they left them. Sometimes some of these things that you'll find are useful. But we certainly wouldn't want to be running around the dumps or checking in the hedges and whatnot for something to make our lives better. But I'm glad the Lord does. The sad thing about it is that there are so many people living that way that the world thinks it's normal. Or the world has many people convinced that to go out and get blitzed on a Friday night and a Saturday night is normal. To wake up on a stranger's bed after a night's drinking is normal. To come down from a high and have the munchies, I think they call it, is normal. It's not. It just reminded me, and I don't know, I pray you never have to, Sometimes when you're walking down this road, you get to see all manner of critters. And I mean the red ones, and I mean the black ones with the bare tail. Sometimes they're quite substantial. I even had a cat bring one up to the boiler for me one time, with the neck bit out of it, a rat about that long, and the tail was about that long. I wish I still had that cat, but she was a good ratter and a good mouser. All of those critters, especially the ones that lived in city industrial waste, they think they got it made. Unlimited food, TVs, phones, computers, toys. It's all sitting there. We used to all sit down there. Did you ever see the men that worked there? They had boots on, big working boots with high ankles. And there's a reason for that. A, you don't want to step on anything and get cut by anything, and B, you don't want to be bitten by anything. And they always wore the big gloves because you definitely didn't want any of that stuff getting on your skin. But those critters, they think they've got it made. They're living at the top of the world, like so many people in this world. I think they've hit the gold mine. And sometimes it takes us to come to the end of ourselves before we hear God's invitation. Remember the story of the prodigal son, who the world loved whenever he had money, but whenever it was gone, he was gone too. Nobody wanted him anymore. And it was only whenever he had time on his hands that he realized, you know what, things were better with me when I was at home with my dad. And sometimes it only comes to people whenever they're sitting at home with nothing to occupy them and no one to tell them they're a great lad for buying the latest round that they think, hold on a wee second. I remember the preacher on the street corner. I remember the leaflet that went in through the door. I remember an old Sunday school lesson or a hymn or a Bible verse. I remember where it said that anyone that comes to me, Jesus said, I'll never cast them out. I am not the world, the flesh, and the devil. I am a loving, forgiving, yes, judgmental, and serious, righteous God, but I will never turn people away. Anybody that comes to me, anybody that calls out to me for salvation, I'll never say, oh, you're too black, I'm not going to save you, or you're too white, I'm not going to save you, or you're too old, I'm not going to save you. All the Lord sees is an immortal soul that needs to be saved and says, I will save you. In Hebrews chapter 13, I love these verses. And normally I put John 6 and Hebrews 13 together. The words of Jesus. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and verse 6 says, let your conversation be without covetousness. In other words, about wanting stuff. And be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In John 6 it said, and I will never cast you out. I will never throw you away. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. It's easy to say. It really is. But we really need a bit of experience with God. I want for you to know these things, right? Whenever we have our victories, our spiritual victories, or our victories because we've been following God, God rejoices with us. Whenever we're getting a kicking, for whatever reason, hopefully not because you've been out drinking, but whenever you're getting a spiritual battle, God will commiserate with us. He'll comfort us. Whenever we go off the rails, and let's be honest, we're all human, and there are times when we are tempted, God will chasten us. Maybe I should have put that one at the very end. But on the other hand, he will intercede for us on our behalf in the face of the devil when the accuser of the brethren comes, pointing his finger saying, he deserves death for that. And the Lord says, Father, I paid for that. We have a God that's dying to hear from us in prayer. It says we can, because of Jesus, because we're saved, we can go into the holiest in heaven. But not only that, he's dying to see us for real, face to face. I keep whenever I think of things like that, I think of the words of the scriptures where the Lord says to his servant, well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He's waiting to see us. And until he does, can't wait to hear from us. And he provisions us and helps us along life's way. Anybody that comes to him. And continually, I am sure we know people that certainly have put God through their paces, continually sends angels to help us when we need. He'll sharpen our wits for us if we ask him. James 1, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not, and he will give him. And the one thing that people's working so hard for, that assurance of salvation, but more than that, the peace that passeth all understanding. And we talk to him. And that's just a handful of things. But all of those things, they're not the actions of someone that hates you. They're the actions of someone that loves you. You ever hear the old saying, you cannot smack a child. You cannot chasten a child and expect it to have the desired results unless you have comforted the child, unless you have nursed the child, unless you have fed the child, clothed the child, bathed the child, played with the child, educated the child. You cannot chasten them. They will not know what's in love unless you have demonstrated your love first. So that's why I said maybe I shouldn't put chastening at the end. These are the actions of someone that loves us more than he loved his own life. And he was, even from the foundations of the earth, his son was slated to die for our sins. These are not the actions of the world, the flesh, and the devil. You don't have to go very far to see exactly what living by the world, the flesh, and the devil's rules is doing to folks. Let's take one of the biggest examples I can think of right now. Walt Disney and the Marvel Universe. You know the big media companies? There is the saying, and it's been shown to be true so many, many times, that if you go woke, you go broke. In other words, if you insist on following all the teachings of the world, the teachings that the goats follow on my left, remember, and refuse to follow the teachings of God on my right, you will run out of money. And that is literally exactly what's happening. Most of the big, of all the latest Disney movies have lost nearly $1 billion. Just like that. I would love to be in the position where I could lose $1 billion. But that's what's happening. When you insist on doing what the world, the flesh, and the devil tells you to do, you're going to lose. But you'll lose more than $1 billion. You'll lose your peace of mind, your purpose in life. You will lose everything. And whenever you have, I remember cleaning up after many people that chewed gum in the bar and insisted on sticking it under the table. I remember walking in, many a piece of chewing gum, and someone just spat on the ground afterwards and have to clean shoes and carpet, white spirit, the order of the day. I remember picking up many cigarette butts, things that people had used up, spat out, things that people had chewed up and used all the flavour out of them, thrown them away. That's not what God will ever do to you. Never. Jesus said, I will in no wise cast you out. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That is the promise of God when we do throw something away. Whenever we get tired enough of our sins to say to the Lord, Lord, the life that I'm leading is killing me dead. Would you please forgive me? I repent of my sins. And that is you quite literally taking those things and throwing them away, and the Lord gives you the Holy Spirit to be your helper and guide until the day that you see him face to face and eternity. A lot of people think it's so much a part of their lives, they'll never be able to do it. The Lord says, even if it seems like your right arm, get rid of it. You are far better. You may go to heaven maimed or lame or blind, but when you stand in heaven, you will be more complete than you ever have been. And you won't have any other sin nature. The Lord will take all of that that you throw away, that you tear out, that you walk away from. When you turn to Christ. In fact, you know what? Instead of me blathering through, I just want to read this verse from Isaiah 38. This is what God will do with your sins. Isaiah 38 and 17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. He takes them and throws them behind his back. You will never be thrown away. Definitely, we can do with throwing our sins away. But God will never be done with them. Never. The day that you are saved is the day that you are adopted, and you will always be son or his daughter. Might have to do a bit more work with some of us than with others. Everybody knows a child that used to get hidings more than maybe other children that were just contrary and needed a lot of work, but they still belong to their parents, and that is us as well. God will never be done with you, friends. Don't ever forget it, even when the devil tempts you, even when he says to you, you know what? God, after you said that or did that or after you went to that place, God has done with you. No, he's not. He'll never be done with you. Amen. But I am done with the sermon now, so if you want to put your hymn books away and put your Bibles away and take your hymn books out, I'll get there in the end. I think we have one more to sing that I can't find. Yeah. Whose wasn't sung this morning?
I didn't.
You didn't?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 412 then, if you'd like to take there. Onward Christian soldiers, if you'd like to stand as we sing, we will close out the service with a song.
Thank you.
Thank you, Will. Oh, Smith, God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.